unified complex, a recursive coupling of information and meta-information, or transductive syntax. This retooling is accomplished by associating information with reflexive syntactic operators, units of coherent infocognition. In a reflexive linguistic structure, self-configuring self-processing language, SCSPL, that incorporates its own model and is thus identical to its universe. SCSPL evolves by conspansion, material contraction qua spatial expansion, a structured grammatical alternation between a linguistic output phase, classical reality, consisting of the observable states or external relationships of syntactic operators, and a production phase that transforms one state to another. This being said, there is a sense in which infocognitive monism well agrees with the thesis that bits are universal descriptors of reality. Because the bit values 1 and 0 are analogous to the truth values of two-valued logic, the fact that perceptual reality is described by two-valued logic implies that it can be described in terms of bits. However, while reality at large is defined by relevance to perceptual reality in the relativistic sense, it does not consist of perceptual reality alone. Telic reducibility and telic recursion. Telic recursion is a fundamental process that tends to maximize a cosmic self-selection parameter, generalized utility over a set of possible syntax-state relationships in light of the self-configurative freedom of the universe. An inherently quantum process that reflects the place of quantum theory in SCSPL, telic recursion is a pre-informational form of recursion involving a combination of holology, telic feedback, and recursive selection acting on the informational potential of MU, a primal syndifionic form that is symmetric with respect to containment. Where perceptual reality consists of infocognition, self-transducing information, explaining the genesis and evolution of reality amounts to explaining the genesis and evolution of infognition. Because generalized cognition, information processing, is temporal, while information locates objects or message units in attributive spaces, information and cognition are respectively spatial and temporal in nature. Infocognition is analogous to space-time, and space-time is infocognitive. It follows that perceptual reality consists not merely of infocognition but of space-time, and that seeking an explanation of the genesis and evolution of reality amounts to seeking an explanation of the genesis and evolution of space-time qua infocognition, i.e., to cosmology in the context of information transduction. Cosmology, humanity's grand attempt to explain the origin and nature of the universe, has traditionally amounted to the search for a set of ultimate laws capable of explaining not only how the universe currently functions, but how it came to be. Unfortunately, even were such a set of laws to be found, the associated explanation could not be considered adequate until the laws themselves were explained, along with the fundamental objects and attributes on which they act. This gives rise to what seems like an imponderable question. How can a set of laws, objects, and attributes be explained except by invoking another set of laws in the form of an explanatory syntax that would itself demand an explanation, and so on ad infinitum? The answer is hiding in the question. Laws do not stand on their own, but must be defined with respect to the objects and attributes on which they act and which they accept as parameters. Similarly, objects and attributes do not stand on their own, but must be defined with respect to the rules of structure, organization, and transformation that govern them. It follows that the active medium of cross-definition possesses logical primacy over laws and arguments alike, and is thus pre-informational and pre-nomological in nature, i.e. telic. Telesis, which can be characterized as infocognitive potential, is the primordial active medium from which laws and their arguments and parameters emerge by mutual refinement or telic recursion. In other words, telesis is a kind of pre-space-time from which time and space, cognition and information, state transitional syntax and state, have not yet separately emerged. Once bound in a primitive infocognitive form that drives emergence by generating relievable stress between its generalized spatial and temporal components, i.e., between state and state transition syntax, telesis continues to be refined into new infocognitive configurations, i.e. new states and new arrangements of state transition syntax, in order to relieve the stress between syntax and state through telic recursion, which it can never fully do, owing to the contingencies inevitably resulting from independent telic recursion on the parts of localized subsystems. As far as concerns the primitive telic recursive infocognitive MU form itself, it does not emerge at all except intrinsically. It has no external existence except as one of the myriad possibilities that naturally exist in an unbounded realm of zero constraint. Telic recursion occurs in two stages, primary and secondary, global and local. In the primary stage, universal, distributed, laws are formed in juxtaposition with the initial distribution of matter and energy, while the secondary stage consists of material and geometric state transitions expressed in terms of the primary stage. That is, where universal laws are syntactic and the initial mass-energy distribution is the initial state of space-time, secondary transitions are derived from the initial state by rules of syntax, including the laws of physics plus telic recursion. The primary stage is associated with the global teller, reality as a whole, the secondary stage with internal tellers, agent level, observer participants. Because there is a sense in which primary and secondary telic recursion can be regarded as simultaneous, local tellers can be said to constantly create the universe by channeling and actualizing generalized utility within it. Diagram 13. The above diagram illustrates the relationship of primary and secondary telic recursion, with the latter embedded in or expressed in terms of the former. The large circles and arrows represent universal laws, distributed syntax, engaged in telic feedback with the initial state of space-time, initial mass-energy distribution, while the small circles and arrows represent telic feedback between localized contingent aspects of syntax and state via conspansion. The primary stage maximizes global generalized utility on an ad hoc basis, as local tellers freely and independently maximize their local utility functions. The primary stage counterparts of inner expansion and requantization are called coinversion and incoversion. It is by virtue of telic recursion that the SCSPL universe can be described as its own self-simulative, self-actualizative quantum protocomputer. Deterministic computational and continuum models of reality are recursive in the standard sense. They evolve by recurrent operations on state from a closed set of rules or laws. Because the laws are invariant and act deterministically on a static discrete array or continuum, there exists neither the room nor the means for optimization, and no room for self-design. The CTMU, on the other hand, is conspansive and telic recursive because new state potentials are constantly being created by evacuation and mutual absorption of coherent objects, syntactic operators, through conspansion. Metrical and nomological uncertainty prevail wherever standard recursion is impaired by object sparsity. This amounts to self-generative freedom, holologically providing reality with a self-simulative scratch pad on which to compare the aggregate utility of multiple self-configurations for self-optimizative purposes. Standard recursion is Markovian, in that when a recursive function is executed, each successive recursion is applied to the result of the preceding one. Telic recursion is more than Markovian. It self-actualizatively coordinates events in light of higher-order relationships or telons that are invariant with respect to overall identity, but may display some degree of polymorphism on lower orders. Once one of these relationships is nucleated by an opportunity for telic recursion, it can become an ingredient of syntax in one or more telic recursive, global or agent-level operators or telors, and be carried outward by inner expansion, i.e. sustained within the operator as it engages in mutual absorption with other operators. Two features of conspansive spacetime, the atemporal homogeneity of IEDs, operator strata, and the possibility of extended superposition, then permit the telon to self-actualize by intelligently, i.e. telic recursively, coordinating events in such a way as to bring about its own emergence, subject to various more or less subtle restrictions involving available freedom, noise, and competitive interference from other telons. In any self-contained, self-determinative system, telic recursion is integral to the cosmic, teleobiological, and volitional 41 levels of evolution. The telic principle restricted to the teleological, Y, level of explanation, map yields the telic principle. The universe configures itself according to the requirement that it self-select from a background of undifferentiated ontological potential, or telesis. This requirement, amounting to a need for self-actualization and self-expression, is implicit in the MU form. The TELEC principle is responsible for converting potential to actuality in such a way as to maximize a universal self-selection parameter, generalized utility. Teleology, the idea that the universe has a purpose which explains its existence and guides its evolution, some time ago began losing sway in the court of scientific opinion. Although it was at first assumed that a more neutral, less theological, explanation for the existence of man and the universe would come along to fill the resulting explanatory void, it eventually became evident that no such replacement was conveniently falling out of the equations. Some amount of higher-level interpretation would be required in any case. This marked the rise of the so-called anthropic principle, which now comes in several flavors, including weak, strong, final, and that favored by Wheeler, participatory. The initial weak version, the weak anthropic principle, or WAP, begins with the trivial, if somewhat Bayesian, point that our cosmological observations of the universe reveal a capacity for life because a life-bearing universe is the only kind of universe in which there are living beings able to make cosmological observations. But while this seems to imply that there exists a domain of many universes in which such a universe can be passively distinguished by the circumstantial constraint that it contain living observers, the WAP offers no ready explanation for such a domain. Indeed, to those not convinced of its virtues, the WAP almost seems to add an unnecessary dose of explanatory red ink to the cosmological ledger. The strong anthropic principle, SAPE, eliminates much of this red ink by making a more extreme claim, asserting that the existence of intelligent life is not just a circumstantial selection principle, but a sine qua non of cosmic existence. In effect, this limits the set of possible universes to just those which are capable of producing life. However, this leads to problems. How can the idea that living observers are necessary for the existence of the universe be squared with the idea that objective reality is essentially independent of observation and those who observe it? And how does intelligent life, which seems to have evolved billions of years after the universe was born, play any kind of causal role in cosmology? Is some sort of time travel occurring? Selection is one thing. Retroactive self-generation is quite another. It has often been remarked that the anthropic principles employ circular reasoning, i.e., they seem to take that which they purport to explain, the observable fact that the universe is fine-attuned to support life, as a premise, asserting that living beings observe the universe to be friendly to life because life is present in the universe to make this observation. In other words, we are here to observe the universe, and the universe is here to let us observe it because we are here to observe the universe. Unfortunately, the anthropic principles lack something that they would need to make this work: a circular model to which their loop-like reasoning can be consistently mapped. Quite simply, the type of causal circularity they suggest is at odds with the arrow of time and other aspects of the prevailing non-circular models of time and space. Because circular arguments are self-justifying and resistant to falsification, it is frequently assumed that tautology and circular reasoning are absolute theoretical evils. But this is far from the case, for logic and mathematics are almost completely based on circularity. Truth and logical tautology, recursion and iteration, algebraic and topological closure, all involve it to some degree. The problems arise only when circular reasoning is employed without the assurance of full mathematical generality, incorporating false claims of universality on what may be non-universal premises. Unfortunately, not even valid tautologies are embraced by the prevailing school of scientific philosophy, falsificationism. While non-universal tautologies are rightly forbidden due to their resistance to falsificative procedures that would reveal their limitations, universal tautologies are pronounced scientifically uninteresting for much the same reason. But in fact, science could exist in no way, shape, or form without them. The very possibility of a scientific observation is utterly dependent on the existence of tautological forms on which to base a stable, invariant syntax of perception. This raises the possibility that falsificationist thinking has accidentally obscured the true place of tautological reasoning in cosmology. If the universe is really circular enough to support some form of anthropic argument, its circularity must be defined and built into its structure in a logical and therefore universal and necessary way. The telic principle simply asserts that this is the case. The most fundamental imperative of reality is such as to force on it a supertautological, conspansive structure. Thus, the universe selects itself from unbound telesis, or UBT, a realm of zero information and unlimited ontological potential, by means of telic recursion, whereby infocognitive syntax and its informational content are cross-refined through telic syntax state feedback over the entire range of potential syntax state relationships, up to and including all of space-time and reality in general. The telic principle differs from anthropic principles in several important ways. First, it is accompanied by supporting principles and models which show that the universe possesses the necessary degree of circularity, particularly with respect to time. In particular, the extended superposition principle, a property of conspansive space-time that coherently relates widely separated events, lets the universe retrodict itself through meaningful cross-temporal feedback. Moreover, in order to function as a selection principle, it generates a generalized global selection parameter analogous to self-utility, which it then seeks to maximize in light of the evolutionary freedom of the cosmos as expressed through localized telic subsystems, which mirror the overall system in seeking to maximize local utility. In this respect, the telic principle is an ontological extension of so-called principles of economy, like those of Maupertuis and Hamilton regarding least action, replacing least action with deviation from generalized utility. In keeping with its clear teleological import, the telic principle is not without what might be described as theological ramifications. For example, certain properties of the reflexive, self-contained language of reality, that it is syntactically self-distributed, self-reading and coherently self-configuring and self-processing, respectively correspond to the traditional theological properties omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. While the kind of theology that this entails neither requires nor supports the intercession of any supernatural being external to the real universe itself, it does support the existence of a superphysical being, the SCSPL Global Operator Designer, capable of bringing more to bear on localized physical contexts than meets the casual eye. And because the physical, directly observable, part of reality is logically inadequate to explain its own genesis, maintenance, evolution, or consistency, it alone is incapable of properly containing the being in question. Some background. A review of the standard computational theory of language may prove useful. Computation theory recognizes two general types of automata, transducers and acceptors. Transducers convert input to output, while acceptors classify or recognize input consisting of strings of symbols without necessarily producing output. A finite transducer is a five-tuple, Q gong theo, where C is a finite non-empty input alphabet, Q is a finite non-empty state set, gong is a finite non-empty output alphabet, dever Q, Q, Q is the state transition function, and O Q za gong is the output function. To this we can add a start state Q0. Finite transducers ultimately rely on mechanical laws to function, transforming informational input to informational output by transforming their own states. A finite acceptor is a five-tuple Q, Q, 0A, where Q is a non-empty finite set of internal states, C is an alphabet, Q0 is the start state, and A, Q is the set of accepting states. The range of the transition mapping that determines the type of acceptor. It is deterministic if deva Q, 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 and non-deterministic if thidivintep Q, Q implas 2Q, where 2Q represents the power set of possible states. A deterministic finite acceptor, Q, 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 0A, accepts a string X also if the Q0X A. A language is the set of strings accepted by a given automaton or class of automata. Languages are generated by grammars. In the computational theory of language, a generative or phrase structure grammar G is a four-tuple NT piece consisting of 1. A finite set N of non-terminals, 2. A finite non-empty set T of terminals with NT equals and NT equals A, the total alphabet of the grammar, 3. A finite set of productions P, N, N, T, 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 consisting of non-terminal arguments and their possibly terminal transforms, and 4. An element C of N called the starting symbol. The implementation of such a grammar is a deductive process leading from the general to the specific, starting from the most general symbol C, which stands for sentence. Increasingly specific productions lead to a terminal configuration. The production XY, often written XY, signifies replacement of X by Y, or equivalently, the substitution of Y for X, where HU denotes the set of